All right, I think I'm live here, and I'm the last thing in between lunch, so I'll try to keep it fun and lively. Thank you guys for joining me today. I'm excited to share with you guys some content that we did that ended up being super successful by not getting caught in the weeds of the strategy and the how and the what, but the audience first. And then first, who's Emily Wingrove? Well, this is a five-year-old sufficiently photoshopped photo of me. And some fun facts, I'm based out of Atlanta. I recently rebranded Cynthio from Social 123, so you may remember us as that. And I love a good Tempranillo, good Spanish red wine. Okay, so first, like I mentioned, marketers often get stuck on the how and the what. Like, what are we gonna do? What's it gonna look like? What is it gonna say? And they don't get to the why. Like, what are we doing this for? What's the goal? So for us, it was leads. Of course, marketers always think about leads. Not just any leads, quality leads. We've been there where sales is like, your leads are no good. So we were determined to generate some quality leads from this campaign that we hadn't really decided what it was gonna be yet. And the kicker, having to make it happen with unpaid content, because I'm sure you've also been here where you don't have much budget left, it was the end of the quarter, and we need quality leads. So that was the kicker, but first, before you start thinking about a copywriter and what you're going to say, before you think about your strategy and waste your time on your brainstorming sessions, before you even think about what kind of content, and as a quick aside, I purposefully didn't include the kind of content in the title of this session, because you'll see later that it's actually not that important to get to the audience. But again, consider the audience first, because everything that you tell your audience should be dictated by your audience. So who are they, right? What do they care about? How often have you talked to them? If you're like me, I have a bunch of different nurture tracks going on. It's super easy to accidentally have those overlap. So be careful there. There's also sometimes untapped segments within your marketing automation platform. I promise you they're in there. If you're, like I said, busy like me, they can easily go unmissed, or missed, excuse me. So what has triggered them in the past? And then what is the segment of the overall general audience that you're going to pull or look at? Are we gonna look at titles? Are we gonna look at companies, skills, past data, firmographic data? One of my favorites, technographic data. What kind of technologies are they using? And then, this is kind of funny to me. It may not be funny to you guys, but this is an audience of people that are probably long awaiting the arrival of like Andrea Bocelli or maybe Pavarotti. And the message that they would appreciate probably wouldn't be the same message that you deliver to this Grateful Dead audience. So always consider the audience. So for us, I uncovered that we hadn't talked to marketers that had event in their title, like event marketers. But just event marketers wasn't gonna be big enough because I needed a bunch of leads. So I thought about how I could open that segment up. Okay, well, people sponsor events, people go to events, let's loop those in. Grow the audience so that we can have higher engagement and more leads. All right, let's go a little more granular. At the contact level, we were looking at titles and skills that indicated events, of course, audience building, groups that are associated with events, posts online that may indicate that someone's going to sponsor or going to attend an event. On the company level, the firmographic stuff, we were looking at, obviously, a company who has annual revenue large enough to support either organizing or sponsoring event or even sending a bunch of employees to events. And then within our targeted industries. Then there was the technographic piece. People that are using Cvent or Eventbrite obviously are more likely to be event organizers or hosts. And then I mix that with people who are using the major CRMs and marketing automation platforms. So then the channels, and mind you, we still haven't thought about what kind of content and what we're gonna say. So where does our audience hang out? Where are they gonna be? How can we reach them? Luckily, we can reach them in a lot of places. So we started email, right? We use Pardot at Cynthio. We also use a tool called Clickback. I don't know if you guys are really into email validation. I kind of geek out on that stuff. But there's a receiving server. It's referred to as an accept-all server. Sometimes it's called a catch-all server. And basically what that means is anything that you send that matches their domain is gonna go there. For example, donald.duck at cynthio.com. It's gonna come through all day long. but it's not going to reach Donald Duck. So I send those through ClickBack, and it'll eventually bounce. So I don't want to have a bad IP reputation in Pardot. I don't want to get any slaps on the wrist. So I send them through ClickBack, which is just, like I said, an email service provider. And then we used Terminus to target ads to advertise a piece of content to the same audience, which is a cool tool as well, and it kind of really closes the loop on that communication strategy. Then social, of course. We were using Hootsuite to mass schedule posts that were also marketing the content. And then we use a software called Curata. This is pretty cool. One side of it does curation, which has nothing to do with this, but the other side is a content management platform, so it integrates with Salesforce. So I can go in and see how many leads were created from a piece of content, how many leads were touched by a piece of content, how much pipeline has been affected by a piece of content, et cetera, et cetera. Then we had the BDRs to complement our efforts, right? Marketing is usually a more gentle ask, if any, and then the BDRs come in behind to complement our efforts and have a little bit more of aggression that the marketers tend to avoid. And we use SalesLoft for that, and they actually call through that technology as well. And then we used our AEs to, you know, send the content to their bottom of funnel BOFU prospects. So finally, the content and the messaging. So what kind of content is it? For us, I thought about event marketers, and this is where I'm ashamed to say I did do a little bit of guessing here. Event marketers, because I would consider myself to be one, usually running around with their hair on fire, lots of things going on, traveling tons, don't really have time to read an ebook or a white paper. So I wanted something simple, easy to digest, quick, and then I went with a problem solution type approach. So pretty much, it was three event scenarios. You're either sponsoring an event, you're hosting or hosting an event, or attending an event. And then I painted three different scenarios and then addressed each segment for how they can better use data to optimize their event experience. And you can go pick this piece up if you want. It's at our booth. So again, marketing emails, the BDR emails to complement our efforts, the BDR calling campaign, and of course, all of those things are very well strategized so as to not overlap one another. AE sharing with BOFU prospects, the ad creatives, and then this is where that Tempranillo story comes into play, because I didn't say it just for nothing. So I meet up with my marketing girlfriends in Atlanta every month. We have marketing wine night. Sometimes it's marketing lunch. No judgments, please. And I went to one of them, and I was just chatting with them, and it's the beauty of being able to meet up with marketing peers is you're able to share your successes and then talk about your problems. So I opened the floor up to discussion about event marketing and then went home, thought about it, and I was like, why don't I not do the generic templated email from marketing, from marketing@cynthio.com? Why don't I do it from myself? I mean, I'm a marketer. I do events. Peer-to-peer has worked for us in the past. So I sent an email, and I literally told the story of, hey, I went to lunch last week with some of my marketing friends. This topic came up. It's super challenging for all of them. Painted out the use cases with a click link. And then very, very gentle ask at the end there. I said I thought it might be helpful to reach out and let you know, yada, yada. That is if you ever need assistance with it. And then, mind you, the BDRs were helping out with the more aggressive ask on the back end. And then some of the subject lines, I try to be vague with my subject lines. I don't know if that's the best practice or not, but things like current attendee count, question mark. If I were hosting an event, I think that would certainly make me open an email, and it's not as direct as like webinar in parentheses. If I had time and it aligned right, like, yeah, I would probably open that email, but most of the time I'm not gonna open it because I know exactly what's in it, and if the timing's not right, I'm just gonna delete it. And then this was our ad creative, well, one of the specs of our ad creatives. And like I said, I had about $1,500 to spend, and I could only afford to let the ad run for 2 weeks. So the results, the fun part. We had 613 downloads, and I know it's all relative, but for us, that was really good. And then of the 613 downloads, 204 MQLs were generated. At a 33% conversion rate, also like really good for us. And then from there, 123 opportunities created, 21 closed one-ops, which is awesome for me. It made me and my team look amazing. And then also made the BDRs and the AEs feel pretty good too, because we were able to celebrate together. And then we average deal size is around 20K, so ended up in $300,000 in revenue, and I don't really need to hit on the ROI there because the investment was so small. But so what I learned from the whole experience, because it was like stressful and I had all this pressure to get leads and all of the normal things that marketers worry about, but taking advantage of those untapped segments, do everything you can to find contacts, like sort by activity, to find people that haven't been touched, because that's just an opportunity sitting there waiting. Start with your audience, of course. They need to dictate what your content actually is and says, and even the strategy as well. Don't get caught in the weeds of all of the strategy. Take advantage of your channels. There's a lot of them, and I think if you use them all strategically, you can leave a real good impression. I think the, what is the saying, like seven impressions is what it takes to get someone to even recognize your brand, because one touch obviously is never enough. Align tightly with sales and biz dev. My biggest fear would be that marketing is over here as an engine, sales and biz dev are over here as an engine. That is the last thing I would ever want to be our relationship to be. So if you guys, if you can align tightly with biz dev, then like I said, you can celebrate your wins together, and then you're more likely to have fun and have more successes in the future. Paid content is great. I've had a lot of success with paid content, demand gen report included, plug. But unpaid content can be equally, if not more successful, just as long as you really think about that audience. And then, of course, be authentic. Think back to that email. It was very vulnerable. It was very honest. And I think that that resonated a lot, and you can see from the results. But that's it. That's the end of my show. I don't know if we have time for some questions.
I think, unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap it up here. But that was fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks,
so
guys.
Much.